מלחמה. למה את רצה? לפי הסדר, יש קודם כל ארץ ישראל, ומיד אחרי זה המלחמה, בעמוד י' ג'. מצאתם את המלחמה? המלחמה. המלחמה יש לכם? יש? גם לתזכיר לי את שמך? איך? חפצי. מצאת המלחמה. הפרק הזה נכתב בתקופת מלחמת העולם הראשונה. הרב קוק לא היה לא חי במלחמת העולם השנייה. הוא נפטר ב-1935, 4 שנים לפני מלחמת העולם השנייה, והמלחמה שהוא ראה הייתה מלחמת העולם הראשונה. ומעניין כמה הדברים שהוא כותב התגשמו אחרי המלחמה. אז הוא כותב, עכשיו איפה הוא נמצא? כן, איפה הוא נמצא? הוא נמצא, שהוא כותב את הדברים האלה, בשוויץ. This is the first World War, World War One. He had to leave, he left Israel. He came on Aliyah in the year 1904. 10 years he was here in Yafo, in Jaffa, as the rabbi of the Jaffa and the colonies, the kibbutzim, the colonies mainly, moshavot, rav shel Yafo ve moshavot. In 1914 he went to Europe. He was invited by Agudat Israel to the first convention of that party. It was not a Zionist party, and he shalom Rav Avram, and he was invited to speak there, and he decided to go in order to try to convince them to become more Zionist, or to at least to be against the Zionist movement. And he went, and just before the convention started, the war broke out, and he couldn't come back to Israel because Turkey was in war with Russia, and he was a Russian citizen with a Russian passport, and he, of course, he did not want to, he couldn't stay in Germany also, so he succeeded to run to flee to Switzerland, and there in Switzerland for a couple of years he stayed there. He didn't have any position, so he was not very busy, and he had a lot of time to write. And many of these chapters were written during that war, when he was in Switzerland. Later, he went to London, and he became the rabbi of a big congregation there, and then he became much, much busier. Much more busy because he also worked to promote the Balfour Declaration. Anyway, in Switzerland, in Switzerland he had much more time. He didn't have any job. Some rich Jewish family supported him, gave him a place to live, and so this chapter about the war and its significance was written during that war. Let us just read the first sentence, because Rav Avram has come, and I just want to so this is kind of historical background to this chapter. Just one, the first sentence, שיש מלחמה גדולה בעולם מתעורר כוח משיח. Which means war is part of the process of redemption. War and redemption go hand in hand, go together. You can't think of Geula, of redemption, without war. And war is somehow an integral part of the process of Geula. And after each war, there is each war makes this process, brings it to a higher level, to a higher level. Redemption goes up, advances. Koach Mashiach, mitorer Koach Mashiach, which means Koach Mashiach is what I would say, Koach Mashiach, HaKoach HaNisi HaMekadem Et HaGeulah, the divine power that promotes the process of Geulah, of redemption. It's so interesting that he wrote this passage, this chapter. He wrote it when it was absolutely not clear what will be the consequence, what will be the results of or the ramifications of that war. And as a matter of fact, we know that after World War I, we had the Balfour Declaration, we had the British Mandate, we had the decision of the Nations, League of Nations, to recognize the right of the Jewish people to establish a national home in Eretz Israel, in Palestine. So what we really have here is Rav Kook speaking or writing to the Jews who were absolutely frightened and scared. We know that thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed during that war. But what he has to say to them is, in spite of the pain and agony that goes with that war, something great, another stage of Geula, of redemption, will come out of that war. So this is our nechama, in spite of the great pain. We were not speaking about few who were killed. Almost million Jews were killed during World War I. We don't speak about them, because after World War II, with the 6 million, 1 million seems something secondary or not important or not. But it was a huge catastrophe. And what Rav Kook is going to tell them is that, I'm sure, he writes it during the war, I'm sure that there will be a lot of after the war and through the war, and there is result of the war, the process of redemption will get to a higher level, to a higher stage, as exactly happened. Very interesting. Okay, זאת הפתיחה. הרב אברהם, your turn. לא בעיה, אתה. מה? כולם הבינו את מה שאמרת. You have understood.
לא, הוא מדבר בקשר לרב אברהם, איך היא תבין אותו.
דבר עברית שנוח לך, ואני מדי פעם אתרגם, או ש... זה אומר שאני חייב להקשיב. כן. אז תשמרו את הספרים שנתתי לכם.
יש עוד.
הנה, ואתם תסתכלו שתכן ויופי. אם אתה נשאר הרב, אז הנה אתה יכול להיות. אם כן, אמרנו, כשיש מלחמה גדולה בעולם, מתעורר כוח משיח. יש, הגאולה מתקדמת. הגאולה מתקדמת, כפי שבאמת ראינו שמלחמת העולם הראשונה הביאה, First World War brought the Balfour Declaration and the international recognition of the right to of the Jewish people to establish a national homeland, national home in Eretz Israel. Second World War brought the state of Israel. The Yom Kippur War, the Six Day War brought the of course the liberation of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Golan, Sinai,
Bika.
And the Yom Kippur, Bikaat HaYarden, Yericho, and of course Yom Kippur War brought the movement of settlements. It didn't exist before the Yom Kippur War, so we really can see that there were during the 20th century there were four wars. Two of them, the first two were world wars, and the other two and three of the state of Israel, war of independence that brought the state, war of Six Day War and the Yom Kippur War. Each war promoted, brought the Am Israel to a higher level in terms of Kibbutz Galuyot, in terms of the land, in terms of the Geula, the redemption. Mit'orer koach Mashiach. So let's continue reading. Et hazamir higia, zmir aritzim, harishaim nichadim min haolam, והעולם מתבשם, וכל התור נשמע בארצנו. The war brings death to the wicked nations. The powers of evil are defeated in the war, and indeed in the World War I and II, Germany, Nazism and Fascism were defeated. In the wars of Israel, the Arabs were defeated. Those are forces of evil, and they are defeated. God promised us that in the time of redemption, הרשעים נכחדים מן העולם. The people of Israel will prevail in these wars. But we know that in these wars, the people of Israel prevails. Geula, the process of Geula, comes to a higher and higher levels. But there are righteous people, righteous Jews, who are killed in the Holocaust, World War I, in the Yom Kippur War, in the Six Day War. Righteous people were killed. Not only the wicked, but also righteous people die. So what's the meaning? What's the explanation? And here comes the explanation of Rav Kook regarding the death of the righteous in the war. Hayechidim, third line. Hayechidim hanispim belo mishpat shebetoch ha-ma'apecha shel shetef ha-milchama yesh ba mimidat mitat tzadikim ha-mechaperet. עולים הם למעלה בשורש החיים, ועצמות חייהם מביא, להגיד מביאה ערך כללי לטובה ולברכה אל כלל בניין העולם בכל ערכיו ומובניו.
כיצד?
There is the death of the righteous in the war is also part, it brings it is part of the process of the Geula. It contributes, there is value to their death. Their death contributes to the process of the Geula. This sentence, this idea that that the death of righteous people in the war contributes, has a contribution, substantial, meaningful contribution to the Tahalich HaGeula, to the process of redemption, can be understood in two ways. One, mystical, midat tzadikim hamechaperet, it brings atonement to the people of Israel. Kapara. Atzmut chayehem meviah erech klali letovah v'livracha el klal binyan haolam. It can be interpreted mystically, but I think that there is at least partly a rational explanation. Those righteous people who die in war, sometimes, at least sometimes, their personality, their character, their contribution becomes known only through their death. Without their death, maybe no one, or at least few people, could hear or could know their personality, could know their quality. Only through their death people know. Just few examples. I had
יש מאמר מאוד יפה של הרב עוזיקל חיים.
מי?
הרב עוזיקל חיים
על מיטת צדיקים מחפרת.
שירת האומה לארצה בסוף, לא שירת האומה, זה הספר הראשון שלו. כתב שם, הוא מסתמך שם, יש שם המקור שלו ירושלמי, יש שם ירושלמי, יום א' א', יש שם כמה הסברים על מיטת צדיקים מכפרת.
כן, אבל I want to give it a very rational explanation that through the death of righteous people, many, many other people come to know their teachings, their midot, their quality. Just few examples. I had a student, Emmanuel Moreno. No one knew about him. Just he was absolutely unknown. He didn't tell about what he did in the army, his bravery, his courage, his emunah, his motivation for Am Yisrael. No one knew about him, and maybe if he were alive, maybe until this day no one would have known about him. Only through his death he became known to Am Yisrael. His friends told about his courage, about his emunah, about his midot, about his unique personality. He had a very unique combination of great courage and great emunah, great faith. And it became known only through his death. Another example is I had a friend in Kerem Biavne who was killed in the Yom Kippur War. His name Dov Indig. He wrote letters to a girl in Kibbutz Ramat Yochanan. She had questions about Yadut. She was interested in understanding more about Yadut. And just a second. And he wrote letters to a girl in Kibbutz Ramat Yochanan who was interested in understanding. Have you met? Have you read? It's translated letters to Talia. There is an English translation. Probably his letters would not have been publicized unless he died. And his letters, this book became a bestseller. I'm not exaggerating. Hundreds of thousands of people have read this book, his letters. And for me, it's kind of a miracle that only through his death he had such a great influence on so many people. So what Rav Kook says is that there is, even death of righteous people in war has contribution to the process of Geula, to the process of Tshuva, to the process of Emunah. It's hard to say it. My wife also always tells me that. I'm saying, don't say it to the parents of your friends of those who were killed. They can't absorb it. It's hard for them to accept it. But I really feel that there is a kind of contribution to those who died. That without their death, probably their influence was not the same.
Etar Henkin, to the
I was going to say, just since Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, many of the people that have been Niftar have been great Neshamot. You know, I've heard most of them have been Rabbanim.
But it's only really part of the explanation. We have to probably Rav Kook has more.
But it also makes Kiddush Hashem in the world too, because of it. Because
there is Kiddush Hashem in the world. The fact that the Jewish people shows its commitment, shows its devotion to Hashem, even in spite of. In spite of pain and agony and so on, right? There is dimension of Kiddush Hashem, so it has different aspects. But what's important is that we have to know the main idea is Geula mitkademet derech milchama. There is no other way. No other way. Promote this process without wars interwoven in this process. ואכן הוא אומר, ואחר כך, כתום, what happens in the end of the war? ואחר כך, אני מזמין עוד קצת מים בבקשה. ואחר כך, יופי, תודה. ואחר כך, כתום המלחמה, תודה רבה. ואחר כך, תודה. כתום המלחמה, in the end of the war, מתחדש העולם ברוח חדש, ורגלי משיח מתגלים ביותר. There is new spirit. the new atmosphere after the war. It's really it's amazing that it is so true. Just who could imagine before World War I that right after the war the whole world would recognize the right of the Jewish people to establish its homeland in Eretz Israel? Who could imagine that? And it happened after the war. So there was a new atmosphere after the war that enabled it, after the Holocaust, after the War of Independence. ורגלי משיח מתגלים ביותר. משיח again is the force of redemption. The force of redemption is revealed through the war. רגלי משיח מתגלים ביותר, ולפי ערכה של גודל המלחמה וחמותה ואיכותה, ככה תגדל הציפייה לרגלי משיח שבא. Stronger is the war, the more terrible is the more ferocious is the war, the more it promotes the process. So we don't have to be scared of even a terrible war, because we know that World War I brought the Balfour Declaration and the British Mandate. World War II brought the State of Israel. The second war was more terrible, much more terrible than the first one, but the effect, it promoted the process of redemption even more than the first one. Ken,
המרצה הנכבד אמר שזה הקטע היחידי שהרב קוק מדבר כאילו על חיוביותה של המלחמה, כאילו הקטע היחיד המיליטנטי כביכול, כידוע אתה יודע מה האוריינטציה של המרצים באוניברסיטה.
כן.
אז מה אתה אומר על זה?
אני, what I have to say, what רב אברהם says, that it is this chapter has ideas, includes ideas which philosophers regard as nationalist or even fascist. It legitimizes war. What I have to say is that Rav Kook says, he wrote this chapter, he wrote these paragraphs during World War I, 100 years ago, exactly 100 years ago. He did not see as we see the wars of the 20th century. But what he wrote here is exactly what happened. במהלך המלחמה, during World War I, שוויץ. כתב את זה במהלך מלחמת העולם הראשונה. הוא עוד לא ידע על הצהרת בלפור כשהוא כותב את זה. הוא כותב את זה בשוויץ, במהלך מלחמת העולם הראשונה, during World War I. So these are words of, from my point of view, of prophecy, not less than that. He speaks as a prophet. What you have to know, you are going into a century of terrible wars. Millions of Jews will be killed. So I want to tell you, I want to this is a word of a message of consolation, of hope. In spite of those terrible wars, you have to know that this is the way of Hashem to promote the process of Geula, of redemption. And there is no other way. By the way, in the Bavli, b'Megillah Yudzayin, it may be, there is a saying of the sages, Milchamot nami atchalta de Geula. There is a connection between Geula and Milchamot. רב קוק, גאולה, נמי, התחלת בגאולה.
איזה מגילה, מה?
מגילה י"ז נדמה לי, בבבלי, לא ירושלמי, בבלי. ירושלמי לא כל כך יודע.
נמי, מה?
נמי, מלחמות, נמי, התחלת בגאולה. רב קוק, by the way, he brings the famous, he brings the sentence from the תפילה. בסוף הקטע, אנחנו קוראים, מביא את הקטע, בעל מלחמות, זה מתחיל עם מלחמות, זורע צדקות, מצמיח ישועות.
Yeah,
הישועות okay. באות, זה מתחיל עם מלחמות, ורק לאט לאט באות ישועות, רפואות, נורא תהילות, אדון הנפלאות, המחדש בטובו בכל יום תמיד מעשה וראשית, ניסים שמתרחשים, אור חדש על ציון תאיר, ונזכה כולנו במהרה לאורו. האור החדש של ציון הוא מתוך מלחמות, בעל מלחמות. כלומר, זה כתוב בתפילה. מה שהרב קוק עושה, what he does, is to make these sentences of Chazal, to apply them to what's going on in the 20th century. This is the time. Time has come for Geula, and that's why we are going into a century of terrible wars. But the result of these wars will be Geula. The result will not be destruction. Those who will die in these wars, their death is not in vain. It is part, and they have to know that it is part of Geula. And it's a chapter of hope, a chapter of it's hope which is expressed before the wars. It prepares, it's kind of preparation for the upcoming wars. So let's read, אני חוזר כמה שורות בחזרה. מלחמת עולם של עכשיו, כותב את זה ב-1915, מלחמת, the first world war, מלחמת עולם של עכשיו, צפייה נוראה גדולה ועמוקה יש בה. מצורף לכל גלגולי הזמנים, והוראת קץ המגולה של התיישבות ארץ ישראל. Look at the connection. Before the first world war, he was the rabbi of Jaffa. He was in ארץ ישראל. And he wrote to the rabbis in Europe before the war that there are clear signs of Geula in ארץ ישראל. According to the Talmud, קץ המגולה, אין את זה, אני חושב, בירושלמי את המושג קץ המגולה, נדמה לי רק בבבלי, רבי אבא, עוד שהוא אמורה, רבי אבא הוא אמורה ארץ ישראלי, אבל דבריו לא מופיעים, נדמה לי, בירושלמי, that the main sign of Geula is the land of Israel becomes fertile again, full of trees and flowers and people coming back. Jews coming back and the land becomes again fertile and fruitful. And this happened before World War I. Now he sees the connection. Look, there is a beginning of Geula in Eretz Israel, and now there is war, and these are the two signs of Geula: wars on one hand, and the renewal of settlements in or Jewish settlements in Eretz Israel. So we can see that the war is not something that is not connected, but it is connected to Geula, and it will bring Geula to a higher level. בדעה גדולה, I'm reading, בדעה גדולה, בגבורה עצומה ובהיגיון עמוק וחודר, בתשוקת אמת וברעיון בהיר, צריכים אנו לקבל את התוכן הניסה של אור השם המתגלה בפעולה נפלאה בעלילות המלחמות הללו. We should be open to these wars. We mentally, psychologically, we have to accept these wars, not to regard these wars as something negative, as a catastrophe, terrible catastrophe in which millions of Jews die, but we have also, in spite of the pain, to appreciate to appreciate Or Hashem HaMitgale בפעולה נפלאה בעלילות המלחמות הללו. We have to appreciate that this is an essential and an integral part of Geula. And that's why, in spite of the fact, we have to be to rejoice. We have to be full of joy with these wars, because we know that step after step Geula advances through war after war. It's connected. Next war, next step for Geula, next level, next stage. And it is, although we sometimes we don't understand it fully, it's an integral part, essential part of the process. There is, by the way, if we read the rabbinic sources regarding the Geula, the process of Geula, we can find sayings in which Geula can be that there is an option of great tshuva, and in that case Geula, the process of Geula will be maybe without wars or without so much pain, but only with joy. We have the writings of Agaon Mivilna 200 years ago that wrote that option was closed, that the Jewish people lo zachu zachu mamneneshmaya lo zachu ani verochev al chamor, we have not succeeded to realize the option of Geula without pain, without wars, without agony. So what's left is the option of Geula through wars. And this is the only option in our time, and that's why we have to be, first of all, to be prepared for these wars. And I'm saying it because maybe we still have wars ahead. Who knows? And what Rav Kook said 100 years ago, I believe, is absolutely relevant for our time. In spite of the pain, the wars are essential. And we have, if we want to have less pain, we have to act as much as we can to promote the process of Geula, to be more faithful to the will of God, in order to make Geula faster and make in this sense easier. We can act, we can have impact on this process, but there is no way to get rid of the wars as part of the process. This is, I think, the main idea. This is what he has to say in this chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. We don't have time to read it all. Read it at home. Even if you don't understand it fully, I hope that you will get some... I hope you will get at least the spirit of this chapter. A spirit which is not, doesn't legitimize war. It just prophesies. It's kind of prophecy. It says, this is what's going to happen, and the result will not only be negative in terms of Am Yisrael, it will have great results for the fulfillment of the prophecy of Acharit HaYamim, of what's written in the Bible. Okay, I was clear enough, I hope. Rav Kook is clear enough, although his language is very complicated. He uses many verbs, many phrases from the Bible, but I think the main idea, and from Chazal and Kabbalah. הקטע הזה לא מאוד קשה, נכון. הקטע הזה לא מאוד קשה, אתם תראו בהמשך קטעים קצת יותר קשים, אבל הרעיון העיקרי הוא קטע ככה, מקטע לקטע הוא מנסה קצת יותר להסביר גם את חורבן אירופה, מה יקרה באירופה, התמוטטות התרבות האירופית, השקר של התרבות הגרמנית, ובאמת הוא מדבר ממש כמו נביא, שכל מה שהוא כותב פה, בתחילת מלחמת העולם הראשונה, ממש הכל התגשם. זה ממש מדהים. תודה רבה, thank you. ואני שוב מתנצל.